looks so natural. That's good. Very good. Robert, you took off the hat. Oh, okay. Well, in church, you can take it off. People behind you wouldn't be able to see. That's for sure. Wow. Well, thanks. That's a lot of fun. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we've had a lot of fun the last few weeks with this Turkey of the Year. And we saw, heard the numbers, over 900 items came in. The real winner is our church for reaching out to people who may have not otherwise had a Thanksgiving meal, had a turkey to gather around and thank you for. And it's very easy to get emotional when you saw people come into the office or you took turkey to somebody and you see the expression on their face and you see the gratitude that they have in such a small gift, it may seem. And Father, it just goes to show us of how much we take for granted. And what we would take for granted could mean something so special and change the world for somebody, even in a basket of food. So Father, thank you for this Sunday, for what we've been able to do in the previous Sundays coming up to this one. We give you thanks, oh God, for what you're doing within our church these days. It's in the strong name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, the Gospel of Matthew on this first Sunday of Advent, Matthew's Gospel, and chapter 2 today, and chapter 2 and starting with verse 13, and I just want to start off by telling you something that you may or may not know. One-third of our lives is spent not having any idea what we are doing. Turn to someone right now and say, you know, a third of your life is spent by doing things that you don't even know you're doing. Now, don't take that to the next level now. I want you to walk out of here as friends and still married. And thank you for being here at 10 o'clock today. This is a different type of timing for us. So thank you for coming in and practically more on time than not. If someone joins us at 11 o'clock, we won't stare at them very long. But just remember to watch your bulletin for the change of season here that we'll be doing, because next week is regular times. Everything's regular times, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, Sunday school in between, and we'll take it one week at a time, okay? And so if you haven't sent for our emails, that will help you kind of stay in tune with what's going on as well. But one-third of our lives is spent not having any idea of what we are doing. Now, maybe some of us would admit that we probably even spend greater percentages of our lifetimes clueless. But officially, we all have one-third of our lives basically unaccounted for. You know why? It's because we are sleeping. If you are 75 years of age today, or getting close to that, or just past that, 75 years equals 25 years of sleeping. Some of you have gotten in more of that. I've watched you on Sunday morning. Sleeping is required by every creature with even the most remedial brain stem. Yet we really don't understand why we sleep or what sleep is for. Now, some smart people have gotten together and studied sleep. Maybe you're one of those people that they watched sleep and monitored their sleep habits. All we really know about sleep is that if we are deprived of it for 10 days, for at least 10 days, we're dead. 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 10 days without sleep. These are the physical limitations of life. Sleep isn't just a big shutdown, a turnoff, the great reboot, as some have called it. Sleep has degrees of depth. Some of you would say, I'm a light sleeper. And what that means is a pen rolling off of your neighbor's counter can wake you up. some of you will sleep deep sleep, heavy sleeper, you will say, because the storm will come through and the people will wake up in your household. And didn't you hear that storm last night? And you would say, what storm? You slept through it all. Some of you talk in your sleep. Some of you walk in your sleep. Jonathan, I saw you pointing at somebody over there. No. If you can get that on video, I love to watch people do that. But it can be dangerous. It can be dangerous. Sleep, we all need it. Now, there is times when we are on the edges of unconsciousness, of consciousness. But no sleep cycle is complete until we get a good dose of REM sleep. REM, rapid eye movement. And that type of sleep is characterized by the shifting, darting back and forth of our eyes behind our eyelids and by the electrical brain activity that reveals that we're doing something. We are dreaming. We do not just need to sleep. We need to dream. If we are awakened before we reach REM sleep, there will be no rest for the body, no refreshment of spirit. Our bodies are set up to get the deepest sleep as soon as we slip into our sleep mode. Some of you can go to sleep very quickly. Some of you need music. Some of you need a TV on. Some of you need to put a patch over your eyes. Some of you need complete darkness. Some of you need a cool sheet to lay on. Some of you need a cold temp. Some of you need to be warm. It's all different for us to find that comfort of sleep. But our sleep progresses. As our sleep progresses, our rested brains require some downtime to themselves. And this is dream time. Now, during the REM, or dream sleep, our brain pulverizes and paralyzes the rest of us. All that our body does during the night is some slightly twitching or flinching. Maybe you caught yourself doing that. Maybe you've seen someone else do it. But our brains keep our bodies safe while we are escaping in these amazing dreams. Some of the dreams we can remember very vividly. Some of the dreams we don't remember. But every night you are dreaming. If you hit that REM sleep pattern mode, we have a cleaning system. We have a cleaning system at work for rejuvenation. That's why sleep is so important. The more they study it, the more they say you need more sleep. It used to be 8 hours. Now they want you to get 20 hours a day. I just hurt Holger, I think. He's getting in 19, so he needs to do one more. Now that usually about 8 hours is what we're talking about. 8 hours of sleep. But dreaming and this deep sleep boosts our immune system and promotes the optimal functioning of our nervous, muscular, skeletal systems at all. Everything is based upon this deep sleep. Long before Tess told us about our sleep cycles, human beings have known dreams were important, and all sleepers dream. Every night, sleepers all dream. Let's look at Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 2. And starting with verse 13. Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you." This was all in a dream. "For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Verse 16. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. "I heard a voice in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more." Verse 19, when Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, verse 20, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. And then, in a dream, after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. In verse 23, there he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what he had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. Matthew finds and features the power and promise of dreams. Joseph, genealogically, may be traced to the root of Jesse, the house of David. But Joseph truly was just a regular Joe. He was a simple guy in a small town with a big problem. The only way an ordinary man named Joseph was able to live above the limitation of his common small town life was by listening to and investing in these extraordinary dreams that God was orchestrating. And how many of us here this morning would believe in the dreams that Joseph had? Believe that your pregnant fiancé's child was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Believe that despite all social and moral requirements, you should marry a pregnant woman. Believe that you should leave the land of your family, the ties of your community, and your kinship just when you had a new baby and a questionable future. Believe that you should pack up a newborn and your wife and take a long journey into a foreign land because a dream angel told you it was unsafe at home. Or believe enough in your dream to remain in exile until another dream called you back home. According to Matthew's gospel, Jesus' earthly dad was not just some simple craftsman. Joseph was a big-time dreamer. The dream that Joseph embraced and enabled was not his own dream. It was God's dream. It revealed itself in a dream. Joseph might have been raised to be a commoner, but somewhere in his soul, he had learned an ancient language. It has been called God's forgotten tongue, the language of dreams. Now, I love the song, Mary, Did You Know? And I love to call Mary Hutchins during this time of year and sing it to her over the phone. But someone needs to write a song about Joseph and about the dreams that God gave Joseph. If there's any songwriters out there, any poem writers out there, I gave you something for you to chew about and maybe dream about. You see, in Joseph's dream, the fluency of it overrode his cultural convictions. Where the world saw Mary as an unfaithful fiancé, Joseph saw a divinely ordered dream in the making. Running under cover of darkness, away from a dream revealed threat, Joseph was perfectly sensible and sure-footed all the way to Egypt. And eventually, returning back, resettling, and a reunion with family, and a future, it was all linked to the first Christmas gift of dreams. In Matthew's gospel, Joseph is the first member of the church, if by which we mean a community defined and identified by their commitment to embodying God's good news for this world. Joseph didn't act because he witnessed miracles. Joseph didn't say yes because of healings or by demonstrations of divine powers. All those gifts would be given to Jesus' disciples and other witnesses. Joseph made God's work in the world possible solely on the basis of dreams. He never actually saw it happen. And what if instead we called our communities of faith the church, we instead called ourselves Dreamscape, a place where people who are committed to living out God's word, God's dream for this world. What if our dreamscapes were places where dreamers come together to embody and to enact God's dreams? I have to admit to you, I'm a dreamer. I'm a daydreamer. I like the song, Daydream Believer and a Homecoming Queen. Remember that song? By the Monkees of all. Who would have thought I would have quoted them on the first Sunday of Advent? We have another committee set up here at the church. Now, I know what you're thinking. Sometimes we get too many committees. Sometimes we need to have a committee to limit our committees. But we have a group of people who have met already once recently to talk about our future. And I kind of privately call them my dream team, because that's what we're doing. We have 32 acres here on this property, and we're kind of dreaming about what would take place. Now, what I'm trying to get our church to move to, I'm going to let you in on this a little bit, because I've pastored in places, in great places that God has blessed me to pastor, and there's no doubt that some places wait for the pastor to get there and then find out what the pastor's vision is for the church. And then you get behind the pastor's vision as long as he is there, and then they leave, and then you're left with no vision because it was the pastor's vision. And there's nothing completely wrong with that, but what I would like to embrace, and I've told this committee and I've told my church board this, is that I want to embrace what God's dream is for this church. And no matter who your pastor is, that dream is in place, and there's things that are happening in accordance with that dream to start getting it going. It will never start unless we start it. If we're always waiting for the pastor to come and dream, well, what happens? We've all been burnt by this. The pastor comes, he has a plan, he leaves. The church is left for the next pastor to come and dream, he leaves. What if the church had a dream and the pastor's place where it only helped the church get their dream where they wanted it? It's going to outlive us. Our dreams are going to outlive us. We have to get to that. We always want to see something take place and see something happen. We're sitting here 89 years later from Atlanta First Church because there were people who dreamed but also saw it fulfilled. They're not all here with us now. But there's a church continuing to meet because there were people 89 years ago who put us on the map. What will we do if the Lord would tarry another 89 years? And we're probably all thinking, well, how's that going to happen? You know how bad things are. Well, they were probably thinking about that 89 years ago. We have to be thinking ahead. And we have to realize that our dreams that God has given us will outlive us. But we have to start. So hopefully, maybe by the end of 2016... we can let you in on this dream that God has given us to share it with all of you to where it can be our dream together. And then no matter who's up here on the platform being pastor, the dream continues to be dreamed the way God, I believe, intends it to be. Our world, our reality, our existence is bigger and better than anything our conscious mind can comprehend. That is why we need to take the time, the effort, to dream. Joseph's Christmas dream sequence reminds us that Christmastide is about all of us being open to our dreams. And yes, God speaks within hardcore reality, but God also speaks in the softer realms of our dreams. How do you make sure, as the body of Christ, we are functioning as a dreamscape and an escape? The dreams God provides speaks to us within the realm of our subconsciousness. And the challenge for us is to take that initial step and the second step and the third one outside the comfortable box. God's dreams challenge us to move into unknown territory. But genuine divine dreams never abandon us or give us strange circumstances. And we should be reminded and be sure of three things as dreamscapers. The first one is we must make sure we are following God's dream and not to dream up some other God. God's dream for the world is not the American dream. It is not the celebrity dream. It is not the idol dream. God's dream is never self-serving, self-congratulatory, or self-glorifying. Remember, the dream that God sent Joseph put him on the road with his wife and newborn infant who wasn't his to a foreign country with no family ties or any business connections whatsoever. There is no future. Sounds like a fun trip, doesn't it? At least Jesus wasn't to the age where he could say, "Are we there yet?" Yet, Joseph embraced the impossible dream. Secondly, the dreamscape community must make sure its dreams are big dreams. Dreams we can give our lives to with the full heart and whole soul. For Matthew, the dream and the dreamer are one. And lastly, a dream that is genuine God's dream will always extend beyond our own lifetime. Joseph married the one, journeyed to the unredeemable, moved back to an untouchable, and barely reclaimed Egyptian exile. And yes, Joseph took every step, move along to each new increment in his life without concerning himself with the ultimate outcome. A dreamscape community should have the no eye on the bottom line. The bottom line is not ours to draw. Our focus must be on the dream God has given us. Our dream, our God-given dream, should never be influenced by the impossibility of achieving in a lifetime. A God-given dream is by definition a dream that cannot be accomplished or completed in one's lifetime. Maybe not even in the lifetime of one community. There are so many dreams that are false hopes, so many canned dreams, desperate dreams, so many defunct dreams out there. We are a sleep-deprived culture. Just watch your drive into work tomorrow. Notice all the people who are still yawning from the turkey that blasted them Thursday. And just as we cannot live without sleep, we cannot live without either the sleep dreams or the soul dreams that our Maker God brings to us. If we have no night dreams, we can surely have no waking dreams either. In fact, without dreams, our walking life becomes a nightmare. God's presence sometimes works best when it is unshielded by our rational, reasonable, reliable barriers. Humans like things, we can't help it, predictable and progressive. I'm like that. God often prefers unscripted upwellings of creativity. God even works through the crazy REM-inspired embrace of impossible dreams. Impossible dreams? Yeah, God wants us to dream about peace on earth. God wants us to dream about making disciples of all people. God wants us to dream about loving one another. God wants us to dream about the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, who is the Everlasting Father. These are the dreamscapes of Christmastide, which calls us to embrace and to embody it. These are the life choices we are called to put into action every day, every time we step foot in the place of our community, our workplace, our school. In getting ready to put this sermon together, one sleep study that I came across made this biological-based conclusions for a happy life. Don't ever come to tell me that you just want to be happy, because nothing will make you happy. Marriages that end because the other person is just not happy means that there's a marriage that needs to be worked on a little bit more in depth. Happiness is just skimming the surface. You know what these folks said is a formula? Are you ready for the formula? They said this. Here it is. For a happy life, sleep soundly as you can. Forget your dreams. And above all, do not allow your dreams to impede on your everyday existence. My friend, nothing can be further from our text this morning than that discovery. Nothing could be further from the Christmas message than that formula. Jesus calls us to a dream life, not a happy life. Big dreams and little dreams.
Dreams that drive us out of Israel and into Egypt. And that means from the familiar to the unfamiliar. To what's predicted to the unpredicted. That's where God is always going to drive us to. Why? Because we are dependent upon Him in those times and not on our own. And once we have found the Messiah, the true Messiah of this season and for the rest of the year, we will never and we cannot remain the same. Everyone who has encountered the Christ child was changed by meeting and dreamed new dreams. You cannot continue on the same journey once you have found Jesus. You must take a different road. You cannot dream the same dream once you have found the baby in the barn. You must dream a different dream. For the Magi, they returned home another way. For the shepherds, they returned glorifying and praising God. For Mary and Joseph, they had to leave Bethlehem. What will it be for us, Grace Point? What will it be for you personally? What is this interaction with the Christ child done in your life? My goal every year as a pastor during the season of Advent and for the season of Lent is to get us to think about things that we normally have maybe forgotten about, because sometimes we can take for granted this time of year because we know the story so well. We're going to go to church during Advent. We're going to hear about Christ being born, the Magi come. We've heard it. But oh, I want you to hear it again. I do. But I'm praying that you will hear it differently than you've ever heard it before. Every year, I want that to take place. I never want us to ever get to the point where we're just kind of going through the motions and you lose your dream and you don't dream and you don't have hope. He is our hope. May we always dream. And during this Advent season, there's something about us coming together and focusing on one event, like the birth of Jesus. This helps us to refocus, almost like a good REM sleep does to our immune system, and it really kind of reorganizes and detects anything that shouldn't be there. It kind of cleans us. We need that cleansing from God when we approach the manger scene and know that God has come. Emmanuel, God with us. Would you stand with me, please, this morning, all over this great sanctuary? Would you stand with me? Would you sing with me a cappella this morning?
Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him.
God. Father, what an honor, what a privilege it is to adore You. To come into Your house on this first Sunday of Advent, to be reminded of the dreams that You give us. To live them out. Maybe not see them through to completion, But that's not ours. Ours is to dream with the pieces that we have been given. Oh, we all have dreams. We all have wishes to see what we could see and to make things happen now, to watch things take place, and yet they will. We will see things happen. We will see some of our dreams now come to fruition. But God, you see the big picture. We have such a limited earthly view. God, for our sanctuary today, for our friends, for our members, for those who are visiting, make us dreamscapers. Navigate in our minds and our hearts as we pray, as we read your word, and yes, even as we sleep. Just as the angels came to foretell and tell Joseph to do some things, he acted upon it. He did it. He was led not by signs of the world or the times around him. He was motivated by that inner dream that he knew was from you, and he just did it. And we are the sons and daughters of his faithfulness to those dreams. His dream is still being dreamt. His dreams are still coming to fruition because there's still people who are coming to Jesus. So, Father, during this Advent season, we come to adore you. We come to worship you. We come to thank you. And we will never be the same again as we leave this place today because you came. And we give you praise today, oh God. Oh, how I look forward to the weeks coming as we share together this great event of the coming of Jesus. Father, bless us. Continue with your presence. Be with us on this day as we depart. We love you, and we give you praise and the glory and honor. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. God bless you on this first Sunday of Advent.
Our hope is in you, Lord.
How are you?
Our hope is in you, Lord.
Good to see you.
Our hope
yes, sir.
Is in you.